I wouldn't preach, but the message that I have, and I figured if I made it to this point, it's because somebody in this sanctuary needs it for themselves or for somebody else. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us. Forgive me of my sins and my trespasses as I forgive those who sin and trespass against me. Lord, I pray that you'd move me out of the way and let me decrease as you increase. I pray that you preach through me and help somebody this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. I'm going to preach some stuff I've never preached, never heard preached. First time I've ever tried to touch on this subject in a way that I thought, wow, God, I don't know if I'm qualified to preach, and therefore He lets me preach it. Amen. I look through Matthew chapter 12. The whole chapter ain't nothing but Jesus being criticized. When you got time, look. Every time in black letters when the Pharisees speak, they're criticizing Jesus. I want you to know something. If you're going to do anything for God, you're going to be criticized. They've criticized better people than me and better people than you. So when you're trying to do something for God and you come under the fire of criticism, just know that God's with you, but God also went through it and He didn't deserve any of it, and you probably deserve some of it. Matthew 12, verse 43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man. I read that for the first time, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Man, it doesn't say that he was cast out. It didn't say that he was kicked out. It just said that he had gone out. I don't know why he gone out. I don't know why he left, but I do know that he had access. So let me tell you something. You wonder sometimes why you might have something in your life that is of the devil, and it goes for a while and it comes back. It leaves and you almost give God the credit because you get some reprieve, or you get a moment or a time or a week or a month or a year or 2 or 3 years or 5 years where you can say, man, I ain't got that issue anymore. I've been dealing with broken people ever since I've been in ministry, and a lot of them through addiction, sexual, recuperate. And I've seen people who've been sober for years fall back into addiction. I've seen people who looked good for a while, came to church, came to meetings, came to rehab, got their life straightened out, and I've seen them fall apart, and I've wondered why. And maybe somebody's sitting under the sound of my voice. Maybe you've got your life in order before, then you make a mess of it. And then you get it in order and you make a mess of it. And everybody's wondering, why do you do that? And the person who's wondering why more than anybody else is you. You're sitting there going, why do I keep drinking? Why do I keep lying? Why do I keep manipulating? Why do I keep falling? Maybe, just maybe, it's because the devil's gone for a little while. But guess what? There's nothing there to replace him. We'll get into that a little bit more, but I want you to hear what I have to say. It's gone out of a man, and he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. I thought it was amazing that the Scripture says that he walks through dry places. That's why I don't ever want to have a dry church. Because I don't want him to come in here. Amen. I don't want him to feel comfortable in here. I want the living water to be flowing in here. I want the face of God, just like in the beginning when the face of God went over the waters. I want the water to be in here. I don't want the devil to find a dry place in this place. Can I ask you, have you ever been a dry place? The devil likes dry places. He likes dry people. I started thinking about it. We have a hard time dealing with dry people, don't we? You ever had a dry waiter or waitress come to your table? What do you want? What do you need? How many of you are you? Who's ordering? Who's paying? I'll be back in a minute. If you can't figure out your order, I'll be back. You know, can you handle that? It's dry, ain't it? That's a dry person. Amen? You deal with people like that when they speak to you, automatically you start withering away. That's the kind of, could you imagine what that's like to have somebody cutting your hair that's dry? Well, you need a haircut. I wish I hadn't have been open or I wouldn't be cutting your hair. I wish I was off. I wish I was doing something else. Right? You ever had a sales clerk that way, a hospital person that way, a doctor that way? Look at you and act like, man, what's wrong with you? Why are you here? Well, I checked into the hospital. I'm sick. I really don't want to be here. You understand what dry people do? But guess what? Are you dry? Are you dry as a husband? Hey, babe, what's going on? Nothing. Hey, what's going on at work? Nothing. Hey, what's going on with you? How you feeling? Are you doing okay? All right. Could you move out of the way? I can't see the screen. Amen? And we wonder why the devil gets in our marriages. Preach on dry wives, but just complaining. Hey, babe, how's it going? You left your clothes out again. That roof, it's still leaking. Well, that plumbing, we can need to get something done with that. And our bills are behind. I love you too, babe. Oh, I might as well offend everybody. Kids. Hey, son, how you doing? I don't know. Whatever. Hey, man, you ain't been out of your room in a month. Can I see you? No, whatever, mind your business. Right? Whatever. I'm just talking to my friends. I'm just chatting Instagram. I'm just doing a face-to-face. Just texting. What's it matter? And we wonder, we're so dry that the devil gets in every area of our lives. Dry church members. Talk about everybody, but don't ever pray for nobody. Amen. Talk about every situation in the church, but don't ever talk to God about the situation. There we are. We're wondering. The man, the devil, just, he loves dry places. He loves dry situations. He loves to get in them. I hear people all the time, I'm just a brutal truth teller. I'm just a keep it real person. You're not a keep it real person. You're a keeping it broke person. I ain't got no money because you're probably or the waiter or the waitress or the hairstylist or the person that's a sales clerk always blaming everybody because you ain't got no money. You would have made money, but you ran everybody off and you got fired because you're so brutally honest. And you're such keeping it real. Can't keep a relationship. Can't stay married. Can't stay with anybody because you're just keeping it real. No, you're just keeping it alone. Keeping it bitter. I ain't said nothing good in so long. People don't even get around you anymore because every time they see you coming, they know you're going to tell them something negative or something bad, so they don't even want to hear from you. Frustrated, always mad. And you know, you pass that down. It's a generational thing. You pass that down. You was probably raised by somebody who was just keeping it real all the time, who was dry and lonely. If I was the devil, I'd keep you dry too. I'd keep you dry. You know one way I'd keep you dry? I'd keep you tired all the time. I hear people, I'm tired. Well, the reason you're tired is you're doing everything you want to do and none of the stuff that God wants you to do. Amen. If you'd let God load your wagon, if you let God take the course, then guess what? Then you wouldn't be so tired because God gives you a strength to do everything that He wants you to do. I keep you so tired that all the joy would be out of your life, that you wouldn't even know what to think about being happy. Oh, and busy. Man, America, we're so busy. We tell people all the time, we're busy. We're too busy for everybody and everything. And then therefore, all of our joy is gone, all of our happiness is gone, and all of our peace is gone. But somehow, somebody is going to find out we're a Christian. They'd have to be a private investigator to find it out. Maybe you're just an undercover Christian. Do you see it yet? Dry places. I like that. I like to understand that He sees those dry places. That's where He dwells. That's where He operates. Amen? He gets into that dry place. Let's find out what He says. Unclean spirits gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He went everywhere. Some of y'all, this is your life. This is somebody's life that you know. They got clean. They got sober. They got their life straightened out. They've got some things going on finally. And you're happy about it. You're like, man, I can't believe it. They're finally getting some things straightened out. The devil's been gone. That lying's gone. That manipulating's gone. That going from husband to husband to husband. That wife to wife to wife. That girlfriend to girlfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend. The lying, the cheating, the stealing. It's gone. Thank God. The uncomplete said, man, I can't find nobody as dry as where I came from. Amen? I can't find no drier place than where I was at. I'll just go back. Listen, what happens when he went back? And he said, I will return into my house. He's got ownership, right? From whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Boy, it sounds good. Empty, swept, and garnished. First of all, empty. That's not what you want to be as a true born-again child of God. You don't want to be empty. Praise God, if the devil's gone, let Jesus in. If the devil moves out, then ask Jesus to move in. Sometimes we get clean, we get sober, we get our lives straightened out, but we then praise everybody else but Jesus for it, and we don't turn to Him. I've seen so many people, I've seen so many broken people slide back into that lifestyle because when the devil went out, they didn't replace him with the only begotten Son of God. They didn't replace him with Jesus Christ. They didn't believe in Him. And guess what? It's good to be sober. It's good to be clean. It's good to be not sinning. But it's even better to have Jesus move in. Have the Holy Spirit of God dwell in you. See, when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you repent of your sins, then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside a man. I can see it as if I'm seeing you right now. That old devil comes walking back, knocking on the door. Let me back in. And he's met by the Holy One. He's met by God. He's met by the Spirit of God. He says, no, you can't come in. There ain't no room for you. See, I want to preach this the way you should understand it. See, you don't have a door. We're not talking about a building here. We're talking about your life. And there's doors into your life. There are eye gates, nose gate, mouth gate, and ear gate. Hey, some things you can't unhear and you can't unsee and can't even touch, can't unsmell. Amen? That devil says, let me come back in. I want to enter in back through the doors of your life. And guess what? He might try to get in, but the Lord says, no, you can't have access. God, I wish I could preach to y'all like I want to. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen something that you didn't want to see because you got saved? And you see it, and your old flesh man says, yes. Amen? Here's what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about empty. See, if you don't get God in there, your flesh man will take back everything. But see, my flesh man is only half of who I am now. Amen? Because I got a spirit man who's been birthed in me. And when I see something that I don't need to see, all of a sudden a war starts on the inside of my mind. There's a war start on the inside of your mind. When you see something you don't supposed to see. You can't unsee it. Your flesh gets turned on and it starts to do what your flesh does, but there's a counter agent. There's a Spirit of God who meets that thought and overcomes that thought with the thoughts of God through the Word of God and through prayer. And He starts to defeat that thing that you've seen. My God. I wish some people could be real in church. We pretend like we don't see anything, and we don't hear anything, and we don't touch anything, and we don't do anything wrong. But praise God, I know about half of you right now are thinking, man, He's hitting me right between the running lights. Because we hear some things and wish we can unhear them. But all of a sudden, there's a still small voice. You want to pass on that gossip? You want to say that thing that you heard. You want to repeat it or echo it. Hey man, you hearing me? You hear something, you know it's good. My flesh likes to hear good news, amen? Which is really not good news, it's bad news. That's why bad news travels 100 times faster than good news. Because when your ears hear it, he goes, oh, that'll be good to tell. But I've got a still small voice who admits, because I'm not empty and neither are you. That person that's in there that's filled up, the Holy Spirit of God hears it and says, we're going to bury that one. But when I was out in California, they had these things. They're awesome. They're called fire breaks. I didn't know what they were until I got out there. All of a sudden, we're running these things in the mountain. There's like 100 yards of just dirt between each wooded side of the mountain. And we're running. I'm like, what are we running on? And somebody said, we're running on fire breaks. And I'm like, what is a fire break? And they said, out here, the fires will move so fast that they'll just go and go and go. They had to plow certain of this ground where the fire can't jump and keep going. Said, where there's a fire break, this right here is where the fire should stop. Never mind. God. Some of y'all need to learn how to be a fire break. Some of y'all need to plow your mind and plow up your heart when you hear some garbage. You don't have to tell the person that told you unless you want to get bold. But listen, if you don't want to do that, just resign in your heart and your mind. I'm a fire break. This fire ain't going no further. I ain't going to let my tongue become a fire, and I ain't burning nobody down because I can't unsay it. I cannot unhear it, but I don't have to say it. My week, I could leave right now and church has been good for me. I don't know if you needed this, but the devil can't come in and cause chaos again. Amen. You can straighten up for a while. You can fly straight. You can do some good things. I encourage you, if you don't want to fall back into the same old sinful mess, let Jesus move into your heart and mind. If you let Him move in, the devil might try to come back, but he's not going to find you empty. He's going to find you full and no room for Him. Amen? And you think I'm not strong enough. That's just the great thing about God. You don't have to be. I wasn't strong enough either. When I got saved, I said, Lord, I'm not strong enough. He goes, good, that's why I come along. When I get on the inside, I give you strength that you didn't even know you had. Amen. I give you the ability that you didn't even know you had. Amen. This next part, swept. Swept sounds good. Swept sounds good to me. Because swept is what I probably do. And I would go and I'd sweep it and probably into a corner or into a closet or right, probably being honest, under a rug. Amen? I'm just being honest. You know, you just kind of lift up the corner and you just go, especially when you can't find the dustpan and you don't want to hunt for it. Amen? That's what the devil wants you to do, is he wants you to sweep. See what? When you sweep, all you do is move around dirt. Man, you get some up, but you leave some. Some falls in the cracks and they fall in the crevices of your life. And guess what? When new dirt falls, it doesn't go into those areas, it stays on the surface. No, I'm preaching. I want you to hear what I'm saying. God don't want to sweep you, He wants to wash you. See, Jesus comes in and He lifts the stains of sin. He's better than a sweeping. He places the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life and He washes you whole. So when the devil comes back and tries to throw dirt on you, the dirt don't get on top of your surfaces and it don't get down in the crannies of your life. What it does is it rests on the blood of Christ, and once you repent, it is gone. I don't know if I got anybody in here who likes to wash dishes or not. Not wash dishes, but wash laundry. No takers? Well, praise God, maybe I'll help more than I thought I was going to help. Right? Next time you go in there and you're doing laundry, you just think of it like this. See, you get a bottle of Tide and you got some stained up clothes. What you do is you throw the stained up clothes in the washer, you pour the Tide in there, and you turn the machine on. And what the Tide does, see, Tide is a cleaning agent. Tide goes down to the stain, praise God, gets on the stain, gets under the stain, lifts up the stain, and removes the stain. Because the Tide, the cleaning agent, is stronger than the stain. The blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than the stain. Your sin, well, my sin's bad. You don't know how bad I am. Listen, hey, Jesus he's got something better than Tide. He's got all. What do you mean all? That stuff that washes away all sin. Praise God, the blood that washes away all sin. It gets underneath every sin you could ever imagine and lifts it up, removes it. The next washing, you just be in there like, praise Jesus. Fold them up, nice, fluff them, put them in a basket, sing Jesus all the way, put them in the drawer, and shout hallelujah, because like those clothes, you're clean. And God's folded your life up, made it neat and orderly. Amen? Somebody say, well, did He sweep you clean? No, He washed me clean. And He's continuing to wash me, continuously washing me, washing my mind, washing my heart, washing my soul. Constantly. He's washing me. And garnished, I like this. Order. Devil don't mind you getting your life back in order, son. Huh? Have you ever got your life back in order? Or I got sick. I kind of did. I could put some stuff. I like this word in the King James that says garnished. When I think of garnish, I think of little things that distract you from the real thing. Amen? Like if somebody puts garnish on your plate at the restaurant, they're distracting the fact that their food's not very good. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true, probably. But what I'm saying is it's just a distraction. It just like says, well, I've got everything going on. I'm back to normal. I'll put this picture up. See, what happened is sometimes you got to put a picture up because you got a hole in the wall. Oh, I don't know. I guess I ain't got enough rednecks in here to know. When I was lost, I punch stuff, and sometimes you hit the wall, and sometimes you hit drywall, and sometimes you hit the studs. Hey, man, you can fix drywall, but a wrist is hard to fix. Hey, man, oh, never mind. I just dressed up to look this way for you. I can get crazy. I've been crazy, man. Let me tell you this. I want to hear you. You can straighten. You can get your life in order for a little bit. You can get you a job. You can put on some nice clothes. You can fill out a resume. You can go down the street and people say, how you doing? But guess what? The devil don't mind or make a wreck out of you again. He's good at messing good stuff up. Amen? But let me tell you this. If you let Jesus come in, amen? If you let Jesus come in, guess what? He puts it all in order. Listen, I'm preaching. Just hear me out before you shut me down and shut me out. I want you to hear this. God don't put you in order for 6 weeks. God don't put you in order for 6 months. God don't put you in order for 6 or 12 years. God puts you in order until the day that He comes back to get you. He puts it in order. If you'll let Him come in, He'll put your life in order in such a way that it'll amaze you. I could walk out of here right now knowing that was true. Have you ever... God, Chris, it's hard to preach in here. So I want to run. Man, I have been so amazed in my life. It's like when people come and say, Kevin, this, do this, preach this, say this, come to preach to our men, come preach this. I'm still going, me? Why me? I'm amazed. My life was so messed up. I was so deep in sin. I'm looking back at my life, I still do a double take. Somebody say, man, you're a good man of God. I go, really? Really? Because when He puts it in order, friend, He does it. Forever. So we're going to be, I ain't talking about your problem. I'm talking about an order where people start resting on you, having confidence in you, seeing your walk. You ultimately put it on Jesus Christ, but I'm just telling you. Let's finish this. Then goeth he out, and they enter and dwell there. The last of the man is worse than the first. Be also unto this wicked generation. This is why you see people. You say, why is it worse now? They got their life straightened up for a couple of weeks, months, or a year. Why is it worse now? Because when the devil comes back, he brings seven of his friends. The number seven is completion. You always know that when you read it, it's completion. He goes and he completely destroys your life. The mess up he did before, way worse. Amen? That getting the swept part, you'll never sweep again. Don't worry. It'll be so messed up. Have y'all ever read the book, the story about Samson and Delilah? Y'all remember that? Remember, that was about three times there the Philistines broke in on him, and he broke their necks and broke their backs and piled them up like cordwood in the room, dead. No, come on. Because some of you men ever want to say, hey, man, or help me out right there. Because you know you kind of like stuff like that. Women, I understand you get a little grimace, but some of the men should go, man, he's finally preaching down my alley. Samson, listen to what I'm saying. Samson got up and shook himself and broke some Philistines off. He did that a second time. So there's all kinds of dead blood, guts, and all kinds of gore. And the third time, hey, now listen to what I'm telling you. Sin will wreck your life so bad that when people walk into your life, you'll think your new normal is okay, but when they see it, they like to gag. Never mind, y'all get it. That's what the devil wants to do in your life right now. Everybody in this room, he wants to get you to a place where other people walk into your life and they go, wow. And you go, what? Just move that dead body over and have a seat. Just move those beer cans out of your way and have a seat. What is that smell? That doesn't matter. Just, you know, I'll open a window. Never mind. None of y'all live like I lived, apparently. And you think you've been empty before. If God ain't there and he comes back with seven of his friends, you'll feel so alone and so empty and so by yourself that it won't even make sense. So how do we get filled? How do we get filled? I'm going to ask God, come on, Scott. Let's all stand. How do we get filled? It's simple. God has a plan for every person in here who's struggling with sin, and sometimes you get it under control and you get your life in order and you get some things straightened out. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan to deal with it. And here's what it was. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I want to say this, and we're going to close, and we're going to open up the altar for you to pray. Some of you are having a trouble dealing with your sin. It comes back, and it comes back hard, and you keep getting knocked down. I firmly believe this. It's because you haven't let Jesus enter your life. You need to come up here and you say, God, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. I believe in you. I believe in you. Because if you don't get God involved in this thing, you're going to be just like that verse said. The light has come in here. The truth has come in here this morning. Do you love your darkness more than you love the light? Because here's an opportunity for you to step out, step up here, and ask God for the light that changes everything. I don't want you to think about one thing that's going on in your life other than the fact, is Jesus Christ in my life? If he's not, the devil's coming home and he's going to ruin the rest of your life. Let go and let God do something in you today. Step out and come on as they sing a song. Go ahead. Thank you.